Rolene Marks, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I've been looking so forward to speaking to you. I was even up at 5 o'clock this morning.
Tell us about yesterday, because I was following you on social media and you were everywhere. There were pictures of Syria in the background. Tell us about your day.
Well, first of all, I was just ecstatic at this time to be able to see three countries, Israel, a bit of Syria, and a bit of Jordan. It sounds a lot more glamorous, seeing three countries, but I really got to do that. But I had the immense privilege, and I'm so happy to be speaking about it this morning, of interviewing Lieutenant Colonel Eyal Dror. He was in charge of Operation Good Neighbor, which was the IDF's humanitarian mission to bring the civilians from Syria into Israel to receive much needed medical care. But before I get into that story, I know for many of you out there and around the world, we all love Israel with our hearts and our souls, and we miss being able to be together in this tiny little miraculous country. And yesterday really, really struck me about the incredible gift that we have, and that you, wherever you are in the world, listening in Johannesburg, you are a part of building this incredible country, because we tend to forget that there's so much more to Israel than, the incredible beaches and culture of Tel Aviv, or the magnificent spirituality of Jerusalem. Sometimes it's about the moshavim and the fields, and especially when you're up on the Golan Heights, the incredible, incredible sacrifices of so many over so many years to keep this country. From a geopolitical perspective, you get an idea of how strategic, how important it is to have the Golan Heights. I've been there before, but it's very different when you are with army professionals and you're talking about, on the one hand, the geopolitics, the threats we face. We've got Al-Qaeda, Jabhat al-Nusra, Hezbollah on our doorstep, but only a matter of kilometers away, Iran. And that is quite terrifying. And, that very, very steep drive, you are aware of the empty fields that are still minefields, and the many, many, many memorials to those incredible soldiers that we've lost in so many operations and wars. And yesterday, I managed to film a bit at the memorial to Eli Cohen, who so many of us know from the Netflix movie The Spy, and his incredible courage and daring to keep us safe, to relay intel, and unfortunately we still await his remains to be returned to us from wherever they are in Syria. But yesterday was all about the IDF and their extraordinary mission into Syria under unbelievable, stressful situations. We forget that while they were bringing nearly 5,000 Syrians, including nearly 2,000 children, to receive medical care, sometimes for months on end, that they were doing this under live fire, under, mortars, under tremendous threat by terrorists. Lieutenant Colonel Dror said to me yesterday, he says, picture you're a mother with four children, and before you come into the country, you've organized that you're going to bring your child who's facing critical surgery or needs help, and you're about to come into Israel, and you get a phone call, hello, this is, whoever, we want you to take a package with you when you go to Israel. Your immediate instinct is to say no. He says, but if you don't take it in, just know that I've got your husband and your three other children. And the personal stories and the pictures he spoke to us about one little girl who the doctors literally gave hours to live. She was a diabetic child brought into Israel. Her mouth had to be reconstructed and sent back into Syria with a year's supply of insulin.
Wow.
And this is our army, people. Mm. Incidentally, Lieutenant Colonel Dror was called a war criminal when he went to visit the UK. But extremely, extremely concerning was that the IDF approached the United Nations and the EU to help with this humanitarian mission, and they both turned him down. So that's just food for thought, including the UN Human Rights Committee. But to see the pictures of these little children who maybe tasted an ice cream for the first time, or hugged a teddy bear, or were able to play in a playground erected by the IDF, you know, around the hospitals for them, for their mothers and fathers to be able to have a cup of coffee without worrying about their children for just a few minutes of their life. And he says, you know, he asked a little boy, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the little boy had no answer for him. And he, you know, he asked him a little bit more, and he said, my friend died. He said, I don't think I will be an adult. And this is the reality for so many of these children. But to bring them into Israel, a country where they are told is the devil that wants to kill you, that is the enemy, for them to come in and they are treated by an Arab-speaking doctor, a Druze nurse, you know, a religious Jewish specialist. It's something quite extraordinary, and we see the results of this. You know, you and I are very active on Twitter. We see the results of this with somebody like Abud Dandachi, who was rescued as part of this incredible, incredible mission, and the love that he has for the state of Israel and the great daring that he takes on every single day to go out there and to fight against anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. So it's really, really, it was an exceptional day, a very emotional day.
I'm sure, very emotional.
Because you really get an idea when you're up there of just how close everything is. You know, when we speak about security and security threats, we're not speaking in the abstract. It is a reality. And yet, against the background of all of this, is our army, our extraordinary army, that don't need any recognition, because all the recognition they need is in the gratitude and the smile of these children's faces and those of their parents. But to know that they have saved generations because of their moral and their ethics as the IDF.
So, I mean, you go out there and you hear these stories. We see some of them. Every now and then something is reported. But is Israel, never mind the global media, is Israeli media covering what is going on up in the north? Because these are incredible stories. And that really does go to the heart of what Israel is about in many ways. Is Israeli media reporting these stories?
It does get reported in the Israeli media. And, you know, when we think of Israeli media, we think of the mainstream English media. But a lot of it is reported in the Hebrew-speaking media out to Israelis. And you can feel the sense of pride. You can feel, you know, when you're up there, it's not just the Jewish Israelis that are feeling this. It's the Druze. It's the Arabs. And you know, you don't see this in the mainstream media because it's not so sexy to talk about coexistence where we talk about Israel. You feel this incredible sense of pride. You see just how people get on with their daily lives, you know, away from all this conjecture and nastiness. And really, I think it's also up to us as much as possible to make sure that on whatever channels we are using, we are helping to tell the story of Israel and that this country really is a little miracle, not just in what we have built. And again, it's not just us here in Israel. It's you sitting in South Africa listening to this right now, or wherever the world you are listening to this. It's you as well that have played this incredible role and continue to every day in helping to build this little miracle country.
Absolutely incredible. Unfortunately, moving on to something just a little bit more perhaps mundane and worrisome in some ways, COVID in Israel, it hasn't been an easy week.
It hasn't been an easy week. In fact, it's been a particularly difficult week. The numbers are very, very high this weekend. Yesterday, the government took the decision to lock down more high infected areas. And there was a lot of debate this week about whether or not we need to go back into a second round of lockdown. And, you know, it's a difficult discussion because we've heard from so many small businesses and medium-sized businesses. They're really, really struggling at the moment, especially those businesses that are reliant on tourism and that kind of industry. So at the moment, they've stalled or put aside discussion on that, but we are locking down areas of high infection. But we've also seen so many of our government officials having to go into bidud, having to go into quarantine, one of which is our alternate prime minister / defense minister, Benny Gantz. He came into contact with somebody who apparently is a COVID carrier. He has gone into bidud. Amir Peretz has gone into bidud. 10,000 soldiers have gone into bidud. So it's been a very, very difficult week, and there's a lot of talk now. Who is to blame? Is it the government? Did they open up too soon? Were they responsible enough? Or is it the Israelis? So we've heard from members of the government saying, you know, people haven't been very responsible when it comes to listening to the advice and the requests of government, which is to wear your masks and to not congregate in big numbers. That's been a huge issue, is the amount of people congregating or having parties in big numbers, and that is where the virus is spreading as well.
Yeah, and I read an article that said in Ranana something like 39 people got COVID from this end of year school breakup party, something like that.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes. So that's an issue. Another issue is a party very similar to that in one of the suburbs of Tel Aviv. A whole group of kids got infected, and you know, that's got a knock-on effect on their families and who their families have come into contact with. So the appeal there is, you know, be responsible. I mean, it was like quite emotional just being in the gym this week and hearing, well, listen, guys, we have to close again. But what we've done now is you're allowed to do exercise in groups, but as long as you have your own equipment. So that means, yeah. Incredible. Yeah. So and the fines for not wearing masks are currently at 500 shekels, but I anticipate that actually going up.
Incredible. Really, really unbelievable. What is also unbelievable, I'm sorry, I find it quite bizarre and humorous in some ways, is, gosh, another explosion unexplained in Tehran. What is going on there?
The place is like
a tinderbox right now. Is this another gas explosion, do you think?
Well, we've had an explosion at Natanz just earlier this week, which has mysteriously set the nuclear program back a year at least. Another at a power station, another, you know, what is going on, Howard? It's a great mystery, but you know, Israelis being Israelis were amused this week when our defense minister, Benny Gantz, said, listen here, don't jump to conclusion. Yes. Not everything that happens in Israel, in Iran is because of Israel. However,
we're not saying it isn't, but we're saying not everything is about us.
It's about Israel. But just in case, you know, we are upping our cyber attack protection. But just in case.
Quite incredible, because they are really, if it is Israel, and of course we can't assume that it is, but it is an incredibly audacious and courageous decision that they've taken to go this route.
And you know what, when you are in places like the Golan Heights, I mean, yesterday was, it brought me back down to ground with a big thump, standing at a particular lookout point and having my army guy say to me, do you see that hill over there? How far away do you think it is? And I said, maybe like, you know, 50 kilometers. He said, it's 12 kilometers. He said, and you can be sure that that's where the Iranians are sitting. So when we talk about encroachment on our borders and the threat and them in Syria trying to move ever closer and closer, this is what we're talking about.
Wow, wow, wow. Rolien Marks, what a fascinating and very emotional day you had yesterday. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. It really made it very, very real and very relatable. Have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe and Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for all that you talked to us.